Brian Eamon, Bill Vanko with you as the next hour we spend talking in depth about Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act. Joining us right now to start things off is Maryland Congressman Andy Harris, Republican from the Eastern Shore and parts of the mainland as well. Good morning, Congressman. How are you?
Good morning. Doing fine.
All right. So when I know you did not like this thing since day one, and there was the famous line from Nancy Pelosi, Speaker of the House, saying we have to pass this bill to find out what is in it. Now that we've kind of figured out what was in it, or do we really know entirely what is in it at this point?
Well, we're not certain yet because all the rules and regulations haven't been published by the federal government, so there's still surprises coming out every day.
Do you like it less? Is it better than you thought, or is it just as bad as you thought it was going to be when you voted against it?
Well, I wasn't there to vote against it. I was there to vote to repeal it. But look, everyone who knew health policy understands how medical care is delivered in this country. I think realizes that the way it was passed was the wrong way. It didn't involve. It was not a consensus bill. It was rammed through, and it's just not going to work.
Right.
And so it's as bad. It's every bit as bad as, again, those of us on our side of the aisle thought it was going to be.
All right, but it is here, and it is the law, and it is moving forward. It really kicks in full gear coming up next year. How do you see this affecting, number one, patients, and number two, doctors and hospitals?
Well, in terms of doctors and hospitals, in the beginning, there's not going to be much difference because it does it just won't appear to be much different, except there may be an increased demand on the doctors and hospitals. But the worst is going to be for employers who are small business employers who have no idea whether or not they're going to be able to provide insurance to their employees, and to employees, especially those at the lower end of the pay scale, who stand to lose their coverage from their employers because of this and because of the huge increases that we're hearing about on a daily basis.
When you say you don't think it's going to work, are you speaking as a member of Congress or as a doctor or as both?
Really as both. As someone, I think, who understands that it was put together poorly. So if you looked at the legislative process, and look, we all remember the Christmas Eve voting in the Senate, mm-hmm. and then, again, Nancy mm-hmm. Pelosi pushing this through, saying, we have to pass it till we know what's in it. That's not the way to pass far wide-ranging legislation like this. This bill was 1,000 pages long. Almost no one read this bill, and it might have, in fact, been no one voting on it had really read it. And as I say, there are these surprises coming out all the time.
I was going to ask you on that. Is there anyone in Washington who you think knows the bill, whether they're a Democrat or a Republican or a public official or a private citizen, who really knows what's in this bill inside and out and who can speak with great authority on it one way or the other?
No, I don't think so. Surprisingly, a couple of weeks ago, Secretary Sebelius was in front of my subcommittee, and I actually asked her a simple question about the Independent Payment Advisory Board, which, some people have said is the rationing board that's going to be set up for Medicare under the Affordable Care Act, and whether or not, if the president never appoints the board because he's already half a year late, whether she would have the authority to make those judgments. She said no, but the plain reading of the bill was yes. So here on a major issue, even the secretary didn't know what was in that bill.
Given the fact that this ship has kind of sailed, I mean, the objections you're raising are the ones that Republicans, by and large, have raised since the beginning and have continued to raise. But the bill's been passed. The override did not pass. So it's going to happen, apparently, at this point. What is your plan going through, and what do you recommend to people who are going to be dealing with this as this takes effect?
Well, I wouldn't say this ship has sailed. I would say this ship is under construction and hasn't been put in the water yet. It's going to get put in the water between October and January. And I will tell you, as last week or a week and a half ago, Blue Cross Blue Shield announced a 25% increase in premiums, mm-hmm. average in the individual market in Maryland, up to 150% increase for young, healthy people, the ones who actually tend to be uninsured and who you want to attract into buying insurance. So when this ship gets put in the water, first of all, I don't think it's going to be ready. I don't think all the holes are going to be plugged between October and January. And second, when it gets put in the water, it's not going to float. So, yeah, it's under construction, but I don't think that it's going to be able to be implemented in time. And then the question is, what does the president do? Does he come to Congress and ask for a delay, a reasonable delay to get things in order, Or does he just, you know, stand with his chin up high saying, you know, we're going to forge on no matter what?
All right.
I think that would be a mistake.
But, hold on the line because I want to get into the rate increase. And I also want to ask you about a rumor or a conspiracy theory that is out there about this law coming up. We're talking with Andy Harris, Maryland congressman, as we talk about Obamacare, the Affordable Health Care Act, for the next hour here on Maryland's Morning News.
Maryland's Morning News on the only station that matters, WBAL.com.
9:18 on Maryland's Morning News. Bill Vanko, Brian Neiman, a special edition of Maryland's Morning News in this 9 o'clock hour as we consider the implications and possibilities for healthcare reform, what it will mean when it finally arrives in full force over the next year or so. Healthcare reform, what opponents began deriding as Obamacare, although I'm not sure that is the pejorative it used to be. I heard the president refer to it by that name not long ago. We're talking with Maryland Congressman Andy Harris, who is also an MD, an anesthesiologist. And Congressman, one of the main goals of this whole thing has been to extend healthcare to millions of people who either couldn't afford it or just couldn't get it, which sounds on the face of it like a good idea. Is there a baby here somewhere in this bathwater that you would like to throw out?
Well, you know, in Maryland, we already had insurance for pre-existing conditions with our high-risk pool, so, you know, that didn't solve our problem with that. We didn't really have a problem in Maryland. In terms of affordability, you know, the bottom line is what it looks like is going to be mandated coverage is going to be pretty high-option coverage, and it's not going to be affordable. That's usually what happens when the government mandates insurance coverage. It mandates, again, high-option policies, and it's just not affordable. And the proof is that Blue Cross Blue Shield announced that it's going to raise its rates 25% this year. That's on top of raises last year, and 150% for young, healthy people. So the promise of affordability is certainly not there for people who have to go to the exchange in the individual market. And with regards to coverage, because everyone says, well, but now everyone can get coverage. But in Maryland, the fact is we already solved that problem several years ago. We don't have that problem in Maryland.
The Blue Cross, they say they want to raise rates 25%, and it's going to be discussed. And it likely will not get a 25% jump. So what happens then? After Blue Cross is told no, most likely by a governing body in the state, that they can't raise the rates 25% like they want.
Well, Blue Cross is a not-for-profit, so clearly, you know, it's not like shareholders are getting this money. It's a not-for-profit organization, and if the state doesn't allow them to charge what it costs them to deliver insurance, they'll just drop out of the market. And, you know, that doesn't solve any problems. The fact of the matter is it will cost more, because we're going to eliminate our high-risk pool in Maryland. We're going to eliminate the high-risk pool that we have now, which everyone pays into, and we're going to put that squarely on the shoulders of the individual market. So it makes sense that the rates are going to go up, and go up pretty dramatically in that individual market.
So if they get out of the individual market, then, are people going to be forced to go on the government exchange?
Well, this is exactly what might happen. In fact, the government might step in with their own program, which, of course, will be a subsidized program. And in the end, there's some people who do think that the goal of all this was to get into a single-payer, government-run system.
That's what I was going to ask you. That's had been the rumor, the conspiracy theory since day one, that this thing was a mess. It was designed to be a mess so it could fail, so they could say, hey, we need a single-payer system. That's the only way to move forward. Do you buy into that theory at all?
That's the way this health policy will go. And again, the perfect example is if the state refuses to allow Blue Cross Blue Shield a premium charge that covers their costs, they may choose just not to offer insurance in this state on the exchanges. And then what are you going to be left with? You're going to be left with the government having to step in and, again, give you government insurance. And I will tell you, and again, I took care of many patients on Medicaid. That's the system we would end up with for coverage. That's not a very good system for health coverage.
Do you still practice medicine?
Yes, I do, about 10 days a year.
If you'd like to be part of this discussion, C4 is going to continue this topic and this discussion in the 10 o'clock hour this morning. He'll be taking your phone calls, but we will continue talking with Dr. Andy Harris. Peter Bielenson, the former health official from Baltimore City and Howard County, is coming up at the bottom of the hour. Is the rate increase, for somebody today who has what we consider a good job, a good middle-class job, has health insurance through their employer right now, is the biggest impact here going to be simply in the rates they pay, or will things change for them if they have existing insurance, at least in the short term?
Well, it all depends on whether their employer decides that it's just a better economic decision to drop health care coverage for their employees and just pay the penalty. Because in most cases, the penalty to an employer for not providing insurance would be less than providing the insurance itself. So if you have, and we already know that the secretary said about 2 months ago that it'll be perfectly legitimate for an employer, because of the increasing costs of the insurance, who used to insure an entire family will just say, no, I'm just going to offer insurance for the employee themselves, pushing the employee's family into the exchange system. And again, when they get pushed into the exchange system, they're going to go into the individual market and pay these much higher rates. Mm-hmm.
Now, on that note, is it set in stone how much the penalty is if a company with over 50 employees doesn't offer health benefits?
Yes, it was set in the law.
Okay, so can that move at all? Because what I was thinking was, hey, if it's, you know, it's going to be a lot much cheaper for them not to offer insurance, that somehow it can be, the penalty can be upped.
Well, you're not going to get an increased penalty through the House of Representatives. We think the plan is going to fail in the end, and we're certainly not going to help it, fail slower.
So any increase would have to be a new law or a new amendment to this law.
Absolutely, the penalties are set in the law.
Okay.
What do you think the chances are that this, before this begins to take effect to a large degree, it's going to be amended, changed, or, as you mentioned earlier, perhaps delayed?
Look, it's up to the president. The president has given no indication. Again, the secretary appeared before my committee 2 weeks ago. She claims that this is, you know, smooth implementation, but you have career people in HHS coming forward a couple of weeks ago saying, we're afraid this is going to be a third world product, the exchanges. You know, it's not going to be world. They said, we're not worried about world class. We're worrying about whether it's going to be a third world product. So it's just not going to work. It's not going to roll out on time. And the president and the secretary should admit it, and they should come to Congress and ask for us to do the right thing, which is to put a consensus bill in about how we're going to deal with the uninsured and accessibility and affordability in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I just don't think he's going to do it. I think that's not in this president's blood to do that.
Maryland Congressman Andy Harris, thanks for your time. We greatly appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Andy Harris, and we'll talk to Peter Bielenson coming up in the next half hour here on Maryland's Morning News as we go in depth for the entire hour talking about Obamacare.